Good afternoon, friends. It is good that we can gather together today. And I want to welcome you to the service for Shirley Tomlinson. And I just want to say how good it is that we can gather together. There's always something special when people can come together, especially during a difficult time. There is comfort in people's presence. Sometimes we think we have to have the right answers, that we have to have the right words. And I can assure you that oftentimes just your presence is very meaningful. So don't feel you have to have the magic answer to anything. The fact that you are here is very meaningful to everyone here today. So I want to thank you for coming on behalf of Shirley's family, her daughter Bette and her husband JP and her sister Michelle and many other friends who are here today. Our thoughts and our prayers are with those who are unable to be here this afternoon as well. As you know, Shirley wasn't in the best of health, but she was getting by. I don't think anyone expected that she would pass away so suddenly, and yet she did. And we do miss her. We all miss her. I miss her. And we grieve. We feel a loss. And yet, we also experience a strange paradox. On the one hand, we consider death a loss. We feel it. But on the other hand, we're happy for Shirley. When we say that she's in a better place, we're not just saying something to make us feel better. We're expressing a real truth that is reflected in the scriptures. To live is Christ. To die is gain. And so while this afternoon we do recognize our loss, and for that we do need to comfort one another, we also celebrate Shirley's gain. She didn't lose her life, she found it. And we really do believe that. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 reminds us, when the perishable has been clothed with the imperishable and the mortal with immortality, then the saying that is written shall come true. Death has been swallowed up in victory. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, he gives us victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we just come before you this afternoon, and we gather here together to remember and reflect upon the life of a dear one, Shirley, to give thanks for the blessings of knowing her, for some to have been raised with her, for others to have known her as mother. But even more so, Lord, we want to give you thanks today because she knew you. She knew you as her friend, as her redeemer, Savior. And we rejoice in that, Lord God. We take comfort in your presence. We take comfort in knowing that your blessing has been upon her. And we pray, Lord God, that as we have gathered here today, that your presence would just bring comfort and peace for all who have gathered. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen.
Well, friends, this afternoon, I have been tasked with a really difficult thing to do, and it's something that I never imagined even having to do today, and that is bring words of encouragement, words of reflection upon the life of Shirley Tomlinson. And just in our time together here as a church family, a church body, and our time together just personally getting to know this woman of faith. I saw her at a low point in her life, and then I watched her progressively grow, and then I watched her had an opportunity to see the Lord call her home and bring the work to completion. And we're very grateful for any opportunity that we have to impact and in turn be impacted by someone's life and their example here. So this afternoon, I want to read you a few words about her life and how she's impacted us as a church body, as friends, and as fellow believers. Carol Shirley Ann Tomlinson, born November 9, 1947, passed peacefully away Monday, November 4, 2013. She was born in Campbell River, B.C., on November 9, 1947, during an earthquake, of all things. She lived on Vancouver Island for a short time and then grew up in Vancouver. Shirley was married to, I want to say, again, Bernard? Burnt. I have trouble with some of the names sometimes. In February of 1965, and later married Brian in 1971, she raised her children in the Vancouver Island area until about 1978, when a trip up north was in order, I hear. And again, I understand that, you know, Shirley fell in love with the mountains, and that was a real selling feature about living up north here for her. One of the stories that the family likes to share is her superb cake decorating skills. And she picked these up as a child when she was helping her mom out after school in a bakery in Vancouver, I understood. She made her birthday cakes, wedding cakes, and Christmas cakes, just to name a few. And it was Bette who told me that, she says, I was most impressed by the 2 6-foot-long cakes she made for a Christmas bazaar. And she didn't spread the icing on, she squirted on thousands of stars by the bag full, and icing by the bag. Well, I think she also was able to put those skills to use during our 50th anniversary celebration here when she made the really huge cakes. But one of my favorite memories being in the daycare was that she took 3 heart-shaped cakes, and I had no idea why she made heart-shaped cakes on St. Patrick's Day. And she put them together, and we got a giant shamrock with green icing out of them. It just showed her creativity. That, and she wanted to keep me out of the kitchen to make sure I wasn't eating anything while she was in preparation for it. You know, Shirley was a very community-minded person as well. She was a Girl Guide leader, I understood, for a couple of years, so she had the community in mind. And she was also known by the family as a master packer and organizer. Again, it was Bette that told me that if you wanted somebody to be packing a vehicle, it was Shirley, because it was what she fit into the Suburban. Probably most people would fit into a large cube van. That's what was shared. So that also kind of explains the condition that the daycare kitchen was in most days, because she was really good at hiding things and putting them into tiny places. That's one thing I found out about her. She was a dispatcher for several taxi companies over the years, though she seldom worked outside the home while raising kids. She loved the family, all of her family. She talked about them often with us. And if you were her friend, you were definitely part of her family. And those are good words to remember her by. In May of 2009, that's when we find Shirley coming to the Church of the Nazarene here among us for probably the first time. And she seemed to find that connection right away. She had been lost somewhere along the way. She attended regularly here, made many friends. Most importantly, she reconnected with her Lord and Savior. She soon became a full and enthusiastic member of our congregation and began attending services here on a very faithful basis. It wouldn't be It wouldn't seem right if we didn't see Shirley at the back, sitting in her seat here on a regular basis, for sure. It was at that time, as I stated earlier, that she came to us at a bit of a low point in her life. She was starting to ask questions about finding a purpose. What can I do to make a difference? And that's when we started discussing, both Pastor Norman and myself, about the possibility of coming into the daycare picture. It was also at a low point for us because it was just the summer that before we had just gotten rid of our hot meal program for the first time in 25 years. And Shirley came in, and she certainly agreed to do that wholeheartedly. She wanted to make a difference. She went in and she made snacks. And then she realized that each day she came in, she was equally equipped for all the tasks that were ahead, for sure. Very, very dedicated lady and worker. Even though her health wasn't great, she came in every single day and gave and gave and gave and gave and fed me well and gave some more. She tried her hardest to make a difference to the daycare parents, and there are some daycare children present with us here today, which is a great testimony and great to see you guys here as well. It's a very special day for us, for sure. Shirley soon realized that she could prepare a hot meal once a week. She thought about the parents with the children coming and wanted to alleviate some of that stress on the parents' wallets, per se. So she decided that there was enough leftovers through the week, she might as well try and see if we can do a lunch once a week. Well, that quickly became twice a week for her. As I said, she was really good at making use of what was left over. So she made and prepared two meals a week. Pastor Norman commented on our website, even though her own health was not the greatest, she made the effort to volunteer in the White Horse Church of the Nazarene daycare. She would come in three mornings in a week and prepare the kids morning snack as well as their lunch. She loved her job. But even more so, she loved the hugs from the kids. Every one of them would come to her and greet her in the mornings. However, her commitment to the daycare just didn't end there. Oftentimes, with her limited resources, she would supply her own special treats for the kids. It was not unusual to see her come to the daycare with some groceries, especially for the children. She gave and gave and gave. When a daycare committee was formed, she was there. When she was trying to figure out how to plan for the church's, or help us plan for the church's 50th anniversary, she was there. See, for Shirley, just sitting in the pews was just not enough. That was not her idea of how to do church. She participated in virtually every Bible study group that there was going. She still wouldn't let me come to ladies' Bible study, by the way. Whether it was on Sunday mornings, she attended here very regularly, Wednesday afternoons, or in the evening studies, even the monthly ladies' Bible study, she was always there. She had a thirst to know God. She learned, she loved, and she longed for even more. Shirley became a very integral part of the life and ministry of the church. It was not just something she did. It was a real part of her life. She developed many friends, many of whom came and helped her out from time to time. She was a blessing to others, and others in turn were a blessing to her life. Her life and ministry in the church was exactly how it should be. We're all very proud to have known her and made her a part of our lives. She has a very special place in our hearts, for sure. She had a great need to be loved, and needed in her last years, those spent at the Church of the Nazarene. She had both. She was loved from family from afar and family here. She was predeceased by her father, Roy Tomlinson, on March 4, 2013, exactly 8 months, practically just before her. Left to mourn are Shirley's mom, Betty, sisters Lorraine, Holly, Michelle, Billy Joel, brothers Michael, Arnie, daughters Bette, Bonnie, grandchildren Vicky, Chantel, Christopher, Matthew, Michael, Jackie, Alex, Samara, Liam, Rebecca, great-grandchildren, Devin Dempsey, Azealia, I want to say, Taylor, and Emma. I hope I got some of those names right. I just wanted to close by saying that some of you may remember that we had, a while ago, I had hosted a Bible study on two different occasions at my house on a Sunday evening. And we'd usually start by having a meal together, and then we would have our Bible study time. And boy, did we have some good spaghetti dinners together, Shirley and I, then. It was part of a small group study. And one of the studies in particular was from the book of Philippians. It was called A Life of Continual Rejoicing. The further along into this story, as we get closer to the final chapter in Shirley's life, the more and more joy we see in our heart, for sure. And one of the studies that she took with me was in the book of Philippians. And chapter 1, verse 6 reads this, "Being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to its completion until the day of Jesus Christ." The Lord has indeed done a really great work in the life of Shirley. And I was blessed and privileged to be a part in just some small way of that. So to the family, we're thinking of you. We're praying for you. Those who couldn't make it today, I know we join in mourning. And this congregation deeply loved having Shirley being a part of it. Thank you.
There was one missed. She has a son, Wayne. And it's easy to, there was quite a bit given to you on short notice. All of you knew her as somebody who I didn't know. Family dynamics are so strange. Bet didn't know the same person either. The remarks you made on the web page that you made up, we didn't recognize that person. Bet told me she had seen a glimpse of that person, but I never saw her. We didn't live together. We weren't raised together. I didn't know her, and I am so thankful that she found where she needed to be, which was here with you. She loved all of you. She loved the kids. Love, love, love. I do know that her and I made our peace before she passed. She was at peace when she passed. I saw her, and there was no pain. She was just gone. Quiet. Alone, but not alone. That was the first thought I thought of. But she was alone, but then she isn't alone. But she was very, very, Barb was with me, and she was very peaceful. And I felt that she was peaceful through everything that she had done, made peace with her life, moved on, found something that meant something to her. And in all the years that when we off and on saw each other, she had no life, in my opinion, and I believe Bet, other than a few odd times, believes the same thing, that she really didn't. She could have had so much, but she was suppressed. So, having said that, I want you all to know that you all meant something to her.
We have a couple of people from the church who would like to share about their memories and experiences and maybe something brief about Shirley. And I'm going to invite, if I could, Marietta and wherever she is. Oh, there she is in the front, ready to go. I'm sorry, I'm looking in the back. And then Pauline, two dear friends of Shirley. Come on.
Well, it's an honor for me to talk about Shirley. I think it was about 4 years ago that Lois mentioned we should have a woman's Bible study. And Shirley and I went, and we together with Lois, we did that once a month. In the beginning, we were just the three of us. And so we met at Lois's house. It was not easy for Shirley. Two stairs down with Lois, three stairs up again. She had a hard time with stairs, but she made it. Then we were more people, more houses, more stairs. I got to realize, because of Shirley, how many stairs houses have. I think the last stair she really had to climb was Clayton Stairs. How many stairs, Clayton? 15. All in one big going up. She did it. She was so determined to be there. I think at one place, I don't know, was it Kathy's house or not, up was always easy. I mean, up, well, easy. Easier, yes. But coming down, I think it was Kathy's house where she had to come down on her bum. It didn't work otherwise, so but she did it. It was just amazing. That woman was like full of strength, not outside but inside, the determination. And we always knew when she came, the beep, beep, beep of the bus, the handy bus where we have the driver here. I forgot your name.
Adrian.
Yeah, and you drove Shirley everywhere. It was just a blessing. Without you guys, we would not have had Shirley all that many times with us, because she needed you. She did. On Wednesday evening, she started going after Bible study to go swimming at the game center. I mean, she was just unstoppable. And that taught me that we often say, oh, I don't want to do this today. I feel not so well. But when I looked at Shirley, she always came. No matter how she felt, she was determined. She wanted to be there. Well, in a woman Bible study, we read the Bible and we prayed a lot. And people who pray together, they stick together. It's a bond there. We loved each other dearly, and we knew all the things we needed to pray for. We took it home. We prayed at home for the things. It was just, Shirley was just a big part in my life. And 2 weeks before she died, Pastor Norm wasn't here, and Pastor Clayton had a sermon about forgiveness. And he made us write names down, which we have a little bit a hard time to forgive. And we left them here, and he afterwards would take them, and I don't know what she did with them, burned them or whatever. And I told Shirley on Wednesday night about this, because she was not here that Sunday. She was not feeling well. This time she had kind of flu or something. And she said, oh, you wouldn't believe. Wherever I go, whatever I read, wherever I watch TV, I watch a sermon, or it's always about forgiveness. It just bugs me. So I did go to Pastor Clayton, sat in his office, and I had this one person I really had a hard time forgiving. And we talked a long time, and he made me write this name on a piece of paper. And then we went to the shredder, and we shredded this piece of paper, and she said, you wouldn't believe how I felt after that. It was like a big rock fell off my soul, off my heart, and I was so free. And when she told me that, I was happy for her. When I heard she died, I was even happier, because she could go home with, what would you call it, a green slate, absolutely. And I think God did that. He wanted her to experience this, and then he called her home, and I'm really, really, really happy for that. And that's what we all should be. Thank you.
I am so not used to standing behind this microphone.
I had the unique privilege, I believe, of knowing Shirley very well, both through working at the daycare and through being a member of the church. And so I have a bit of a different picture than the other people who have already spoken, because I know both parts of who she was. Oh my, there are so many memories of the daycare, from when she first took over that kitchen and kicked Clayton out and admonished him very sternly if he came in when she was cooking. He was not to taste test before the children ate. One of her favorite ways, though, of blessing Clayton, I don't know how many of you know this, but Clayton really, really likes gravy. And so one thing Shirley would do, if she would sometimes do a pot roast for lunch for the kids, so she always made gravy, and so she would shoo Clayton out of the kitchen over and over while she was cooking. No, you can't have any till the kids have eaten. But as soon as all the kids were served, she would, I don't know how he can drink gravy like this, but she would get him a mug of gravy and give it to him like it was coffee. And that's just one of the ways she just went out of her way to bless other people. She was also very stern when it was time to clean the floors. The kitchen had to be mopped first with the cleanest, hottest water. It didn't matter how dirty the rest of the floors were. The kitchen came first. And so I got very good at doing the kitchen first. And then I would do the kitchen and she would be sitting by the table. And my arms would be a little sore, the mop gets heavy, and so we would start to talk. And sooner or later, half an hour would go by and the kitchen was done. And I still had the rest of the floors to mop. I don't know how many times that happened, I stopped counting. There was also, I walked to work. I live fairly close. It's about a 15-minute walk away. And so it didn't matter what the weather was, I walked to work. So be it minus 50 or plus 25. Last winter, I believe it was, I was on Christmas break from school, and we hit a minus 50 wind chill cold snap for 3 days. I walked to work all 3 days. And I came in the door that first morning, and I was bundled up enough that I could hardly walk, so I was warm. And I come in through that door, and Shirley says, "How dare you walk here when it's so cold? You should have called and got Clayton to drive you." She was so concerned about the safety and the well-being of the people she loved that she was quite stern sometimes. And there were times that the two of us would visit when the cleaning was done, and we would talk about life, and we would talk about her life, and we would talk about my life, and she would brag about her kids, and she would brag about her grandkids, and she would brag about her great-grandkids, and she usually had pictures of them everywhere she went. If you wanted to see pictures, she had pictures. And they came out at ladies' Bible studies, too, and she would come back from her trips to BC. She would just be so itching to show off the new pictures she had of her family and friends. And we prayed a lot at ladies' Bible study, and her family, and her kids, and her grandkids, and great-grandkids were always, always at the top of that prayer list in her mind. And we prayed for them every month at ladies' Bible study and in between at home. And so just know that even though you weren't here, you were here. You were always here. And because of that, I feel as though I know you. And know that she would want you to know that you were so loved and so prayed for all the time, always.
Thank you very much, both Marietta and Pauline, and I know others could probably speak as well, and there will be time later on to share, but I do want to thank you for your kind words and thoughts on Shirley's behalf. As I said, it is good to be together. Well, I have personally appreciated getting to know Shirley these 4.5 years that I've known her as her pastor, because I have seen in her a transformation. And transformations are really exciting, especially for a pastor. I mean, we love that, okay? I don't know all the details of Shirley's life before she came to church, but, you know, as we've already heard Michelle speak, and, you know, there's something different before, you know, and something changed. And once she connected with the Lord, she came to life. You could see it in her. You could see how her life changed. And she reminds me of what Jesus said in John chapter 10, verse 10. Jesus said, "I have come that they may have life and have it to the full." And again, I don't know where she was in the past, but I could say that as she developed her relationship with the Lord and strengthened it, and that brought meaning, she lived life to the full. It was certainly true in her life. You could see it. You could see it happening. Her faith was not expressed through some religious duty. She wasn't into that, which is a good thing. Her faith was very personal and a real part of her being. She wasn't just coming to do something and get her Sunday morning in and go home. As you've already heard today, her church became her second family. The daycare children became her children. And even though she didn't have much, she gave what she had. She sacrificed in order to give. And she did it willingly and faithfully. She struggled with her own health, but she found a way to come and to volunteer and participate. Even when she was in pain. She found a way to come to Bible study, as you've heard, and took every opportunity she could to get into God's Word. She served in the kitchen. She served on committees, more than one. She loved and was loved. Many here have been privileged to call her friend. Because of the Lord, she came to know what it means to live life to the full. And so we're here today remembering her life, but even more so rejoicing in the work that the Lord has done in her. Well, the scripture I want us to focus in on this afternoon for a few moments is from 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 13 to 18. It's a bit of a passage, but it's so meaningful to us. It holds life for us. And if you have your Bible, turn to that passage. If not, listen carefully. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, beginning at verse 13. This is what Paul writes, okay? He says, "Brothers and sisters, we do not want you to be uninformed about those who sleep in death, so that you do not grieve like the rest of mankind who have no hope. For we believe that Jesus died and rose again. We believe that God will bring with Jesus those who have fallen asleep in him. According to the Lord's word, we tell you that we who are still alive, who are left until the coming of the Lord, will certainly not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, and the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. After that, those who are still alive and are left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so we will be with the Lord forever." And then Paul says, "Therefore, encourage each other with these words." I love that verse 13 in particular. We do not grieve like the rest of mankind who have no hope. Yes, we are confronted with death. Yes, we have experienced a loss and it hurts. I understand that. But we do not grieve like those who have no hope. We do have hope. We do have hope in Jesus. She had hope in Jesus. That's the truth we can hold on to. When you read those few verses in 1 Thessalonians 14, we see that our hope is based on Jesus. He died and rose again. Jesus, He is coming again. Those who have died will be raised back to life. And the conclusion is, we will be with the Lord forever. This is a good news message. Right there, in the midst of sorrow, in the midst of grief, in the midst of loss, there's a message of hope. Because death is not the end of the story. Friends, that's what we're here for. That's what we live for. That's why we're here, what we believe. Because we believe that death is not the end of the story. The fact is that death has never been meant to be part of our story. We were never created by God with the intention of experiencing death. Think about that. Maybe that's why so many people have a hard time with death. Death was never part of God's plan. Even if we live to the ripe old age of 100 or more, death is still an intruder. Now, with our ailing bodies, it might be a welcome intruder, but it still wasn't part of God's plan. We weren't supposed to get sick. We weren't supposed to die. We weren't designed for that. God created us for life. Jesus said, I have come that they may have life and have it more abundantly. We are the work of God's hands. God created us for life. He designed us for life. He personally formed us out of the dust of the earth. He shaped us. He breathed into us the breath of life. Psalm 139:13 says, You created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. God has a personal investment in our lives. Friends, death was never intended for us. Death, as you know, came as a result of sin. And we see the effects of it all around us, don't we? Doesn't take long to go out in this world to see pain and brokenness and despair, bondage, rebellion, selfishness, hurt. It's out there. But it's not just out there. Sin is also in here. And that's the problem, isn't it? We've all sinned. We've all messed God's plan for us. And it's because of sin that death came into the world. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. We know it. The gift of God, it goes on to say, is eternal life. And so we have death and we have life. Which one are we going to choose? John chapter 10, verse 10, Jesus says, I have come that they may have life. But there's still a reality of death because of sin. Sin brings death. Jesus brings us life. Jesus overcame death. Jesus took our sin. He took our guilt. He took our shame and suffered in our place. He died for our sins so that we can find an answer to death and cross over from death to life. And friends, that's the reason for our hope. When Paul writes to the Thessalonians that we don't need to grieve like the rest of mankind who have no hope, it's not a wishful thinking hope. It's a certainty hope. Based on the reality of Christ's own victory over death. That's why we don't need to grieve like the rest of mankind. When Shirley died, that wasn't the end of her story. That, in many aspects, was just a new beginning. we really do believe that. And because we really do believe that, we have something to be grateful for. The truth is, Shirley has never been more alive than she is right now. Think about it. No more pain, no hurt, no suffering. She is all that God intended her to be from before the creation of the world. That's the difference that Jesus makes. In John chapter 5, verse 24, Jesus says, "I tell you, whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and will not be judged, but has crossed over from death to life." Shirley crossed over from death to life. She is safe with her Lord, delivered from the struggles of this life. She is, as Revelations 21:4 tells us, where there is no more death or mourning or crying or pain. Instead of death being the end, it's the entrance to a new and full life. Indeed, indeed, to live is Christ, yes, and to die is not loss, friends, it's gain. This is the reason why, even though we miss her, we will miss her. We will. We're not trying to deny that. But even though we will miss her, and there will be a spot in our hearts for her that will stay empty, we do not need to grieve like the rest of mankind who have no hope. Death is not the end, but a beginning. Death is not a loss. It's a gain for those who are in Christ. Death is not a defeat. It's a victory. Paul says, "Therefore, encourage each other with these words." And so, I want to encourage you this afternoon with those words. I am certain that Shirley would want every one of us here today to know that she is in a far better place. But more than that, her desire would be that every one of us, every one of her loved ones, would also experience the joy and peace of knowing Jesus personally. Not as an act of religious duty, but a personal commitment and pleasure. Friends, life with Jesus is life-changing. We have seen it here. Oh, if she had passed away several years ago, it would have been a different story. She was a different person then. And I want to encourage you today, if you don't really know Jesus, get to know him. He can change your life. He sure changed Shirley's life. And as a result, we gather here today. Yes, we will miss her, but no, we will not grieve like those who have no hope. For indeed, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, Lord God, we just come before you this afternoon, and we want to give you thanks. We want to thank you, Lord, for the life that Shirley has lived. We want to thank you, Lord, for the testimony of her life, and particularly the years that we have known her here in the church. And Father, we have seen how her commitment to you has developed and grown, and we've seen the fruit of it, Lord God, and we want to thank you for that. And Father, it is my prayer that every one of us here this afternoon, even though we do have a sense of loss, Lord, that we would come to really understand that there is really a gain here. To live is Christ, but to die is gain. And I pray, Lord, your presence and blessing upon each one of us that as Shirley has drawn near to you and embraced you in her life, Lord, that each one of us too would embrace you in our lives so that when our time comes, for it will come sooner or later, those who are left behind do not need to grieve like those who have no hope. For this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I'm going to invite Pastor Clayton to come, and he's going to lead us in our closing song, When the Roll is Called Up Yonder. What beautiful words in this song. Listen to them carefully and participate, of course, in singing this great hymn. When the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. I trust you will too. I want to thank you once again for coming, for being here. Your presence is definitely meaningful and appreciated. I want to encourage you to stay and visit in the foyer. There is refreshments, and we just want to get that opportunity to visit together. But for now, let's just close, shall we, with a word of prayer. Our gracious Heavenly Father, you are so good. You wrap your arms around us. Even though we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, we fear no evil, for you are with us. And I pray, Father God, that as we leave this place today, that every one of us would know the embrace of your presence, that we would have that assurance that you are our God. And I pray your special blessing upon Shirley's family and all her loved ones, Lord God. Lord, I just pray that your presence and peace would bring comfort, and the reality of the resurrection would bring us all hope in the Lord. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.